Okay, this hour we're going to continue our discussion with Major Ed Dames, the world's foremost remote viewing instructor. Now, he's not going to teach anymore, so I'm going to have to change his bio, but we're going to be back with Ed in a moment, and we'll take your calls, too, on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Major Ed Dames with us. We'll get to your calls as well. Ed, we were talking about the ETs and some of their involvement in things. And in your film, Exposing the Agenda, you believe the ETs will not step in and stop a kill shot, for example, do you?
Correct. We have to learn how to be responsible for our actions. It appears like this idea of the of a prime directive has some kind of validity to it. For instance, as I've mentioned many times on your show, we know from observing using remote viewing, because the Navy and the Air Force has brought these problems to the remote viewing unit when I was operations officer. We watched these glowing white spheres above nuclear submarines, Soviet boomers and U.S. boomers, and as is well known, intervention at U.S. nuclear delivery sites where missiles systems have been shut down. That system out there knows where every single warhead is, in storage, whatever, a terrorist weapon, they know where everyone is. And yes, one's going to pop on the on the Korean Peninsula, at least one. We haven't looked for the one after that yet, and I don't know if I want to. But my point here is that what we do know is that the reason they catalog and they know where every one of these warheads is, they are not going to allow that system that's observing us and intervening in certain cases is not going to allow a nuclear slugfest. They are not going to do it. This is not our garden. They're just not going to do it. I also wanted to ask, at the top of the hour, how are you doing these days and times? How's your life going?
Everything's good. Everything's good. Health's good. Traveling a lot, going back and forth. In St. Louis right now, my granddaughter's graduating from college, finally. And we're going to be going to that in a couple weeks. And then
I just got to see my granddaughter at Easter the other day.
Oh, that's great. Good for you. I wanted to bring something up that is so important for people to understand. Back in 2007, you were talking with me on this program when millionaire Stephen Fawcett disappeared in his plane. You kept telling us it crashed in the Sierra Nevada mountains. And I even believe you tried to get his crew that was hunting for him that information, and they just didn't listen or something like that, Ed. And sure enough, that's where they found his wreckage. Right there.
Yeah, I was working directly with the team leader, and he told me in Nevada, he said, not enough fuel, blah, 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 this, that, and the other thing. I was saying, I'm telling you. And that was the most expensive search in American history. It's more expensive than any other search. Even the U.S. Air Force was involved. But from 2007 until now, this remote viewing geofix technique that we use has really evolved. So instead of getting it down to a several mile radius, now we can get it down to within 60 to 200 feet, which is what I'm doing with a number of different entities.
And now, how does that work? How do you do that? Can you tell us?
It's a hybrid system using technical remote viewing and other systems. Well, and what I essentially do is start out in the middle of the Atlantic or Pacific Ocean and allow my and target an individual. I could have a photo or just a name, George Norrie or Abraham Lincoln. It doesn't matter whether they're dead or alive. The end result after about 2 hours will be an area about 20 miles in radius of where this individual is, dead or alive. And then in the next 48 hours, I can take it down to 200 feet. So I'm doing that with the FBI right now, in the case of two folks on the America's Most Wanted list, and as you know, with a lot of children, I don't want to go into that. And of course, Kim Jong-un. I also, if I had the time, and I don't, I would love to do it right now, tonight, with this Facebook killer, this Steve.
The guy there in Cleveland. Unbelievable.
I can hunt him down, but if he's moving, I have a problem, so I have to keep
He's moving. A number of states they put out an alert, so he's all over the map.
Roger, so I have a little bit. It takes a while to pin somebody like that down when they're moving. But back to the ET stuff, too. I'm going to use Roswell as an example.
All right.
Say why people are not, because we're so conditioned. And this little time window that we've been alive and this little paradigm of ours, I mean, 100 and so years ago, flight, there was no airplane. But Roswell, for instance, Roswell was real. And we know a lot of, about other, and Roswell was very real. There was a crash. But the orchestrators of that crash, possibly 100 million years ahead of us in advancement and evolution, if that's even worth mentioning, they went back in time. After they orchestrated, this was a stage, it was a staged event, George. They staged it, then they went back in time and stopped it from happening. Okay? So the people that picked up the wreckage, that gave last rites to the little men from Mars and all that kind of stuff, they'll go to their grave believing what they saw and touched was real, and it was. But there never will be any physical evidence because the orchestrators went back in time and stopped the event from happening. So the memories will be there, but no physical structure. And people just are not prepared for this. And that's just one small example of what we're dealing with in terms of ultra-terrestrials and infraterrestrials and those kinds of things that's out there. So you can see why I'm a little bit reticent to tell folks and why we keep this compartment in many cases. For instance, the Crown Prince of Liechtenstein funded one of our earlier projects, and people just are not ready to accept this, George.
Well, they're going to need to, but
they don't have to. But I mean, if we want to evolve and join this galactic federation, wherever the heck is out there, because people they're out there many different types, but they use consciousness as a lingua franca. I mean, it's difficult for us, and I've helped scientists communicate. Develop systems to communicate effectively with dolphins, but heck, men and women can't even communicate effectively. But in the end, it's consciousness tools.
All right, let's go to the. You ready for some calls here, Major?
Roger, I am.
First time caller, John, truck driving in Texas. Welcome to the program. John, go ahead.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. I'm first time caller, but I've listened to this program for over 20 years.
Well, thank you, sir.
And I would just like to ask Major Ed Dames a question. Major, 20 years ago, in discussing the Hale-Bopp comet, did you not discuss with Art Bell that the Hale-Bopp comet was being directed by an alien spacecraft?
No, that was somebody else, John. That was not Ed Dames. That was somebody else who did that.
Yeah, I don't want to mention any names, but
no,
he's got me confused. That 20-something years, you know, memory gets fuzzy.
Yes, it sure does. But thank you, John. I appreciate your call. Thomas in La Jolla, California, welcome to the show. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call, and greetings to you, Ed, a La Jolla, California native. My question for you, Major, is everybody, in a sense, has a sixth sense, whether it's rudimentary or whether you're a trained military remote viewer like you are, Major. And I'm wondering if the idea, the concept of the kill shot is impacting all of humanity on some level, and causing a psychological destabilization of the human race, because the human race intuitively predicts, intuits, precognizes the kill shot, knows that it's facing impending doom. They're not trained like you are. It's just like the hairs on the back of their neck are sticking up because they know that something is going to happen. And I take this idea from trained military veteran Robert A. Heinlein, who 67 years ago wrote a story, speculative fiction, called Year of the Jackpot, in which he notices that the entire human race is going through silly season, through road rage, so to speak, impending nuclear war, etc. And at the end of the story, he realizes that the sun, our sun, is about ready to destabilize, perhaps a coronal mass ejection so large that it's going to wipe out the human race.
Thomas, I'm just articulating what's in the, at the unconscious level. It doesn't matter whether it's a collective unconscious or not. At the unconscious level, when we're looking at what this threat is ahead, that's all I'm doing, is putting that into articulating the details about that. By the way, I grew up skin diving in La Jolla Cove, my fondest memories.
Major, you talked about Fukushima. Let's get into that again. Are we here on the West Coast, are we going to see any of that fallout?
Not as much as you might think. In terms of the airborne plume, the radioactive plume, that ends up dumping mostly up in Alaska, Vancouver area, and sadly British Columbia, which I won't get into, which I've mentioned before, sadly, because it's so beautiful, British Columbia. And the marine plume, though, the marine plume is extremely dangerous and spreading slowly. But, of course, tuna, as we know, swim very fast. So tuna that have become irradiated and radioactive can swim faster than the plume can propagate to the east from Fukushima. But no, the airborne plumes will not have a great effect upon California as much as the earthquake that drops us into the sea. I'm just kidding. And yeah. So, but it's a sad state of affairs. You're looking at a dead Pacific. There's consequences to pay. It's ecocide. We're committing ecocide. Period.
Do you see anything happening in terms of volcanoes, Yellowstone erupting, anything like that?
Not Yellowstone. You know, that question has popped up a lot, because if Yellowstone goes like it did in the past, you know, there goes half the, you know, 1/3 of the U.S. for instance, in terms of a pyroclastic blast. In terms of geophysical events happening, again, linked to the core of the Earth. The core of the Earth is changing more rapidly than geophysical scientists can possibly imagine, and that's due to changes on the sun. There's a linkage that I've talked about so many years on your show. There's a linkage between the sun, the behavior of the sun, and the core of the Earth. It isn't purely magnetic Earth's magnetosphere and tectonics. There's something else going on there. A big rapid change. We're experimenting now. I'm experimenting with a search term, looking at the next destructive earthquake. I know that in the out years, the New Madrid Fault is going to get it, and that's, as we've talked about before on your show, very extremely serious. But I'm experimenting with the search term now, because we have to experiment with these matrix search terms, these unconscious search terms, to see if they work. That's empirically, we have to do that. And I'm looking at the next destructive earthquake, and if you go to the RV, Removian community on learnrv.com, you see that I point out that there's a town in Iran, a city in Iran, who was decimated about 100 years ago, leveled, and that's where the experiment is taking us in terms of the next destructive earthquake. But that's still a work in a research project.
And let me ask you this, Ed. There have been reports by some dedicated military people that they have seen UFOs hovering over missile silos, and they have shut down the missile silos. They've deactivated the missiles. To me, that sounds like involvement.
That's intervention, pure and simple.
Okay.
So I'm looking at, because there are so many incidents in it throughout history, that's a whole show in and of itself. The two research areas that I'm looking at, because my resources are limited in terms of time and life, is so-called extraterrestrial interdiction. I don't call it extraterrestrial for lots of different reasons, because we're not dealing purely with extraterrestrials. Non-human intelligence is the best way to put it, and Stanton Friedman would certainly agree with me on that term, non-human intelligence intervention in those cases. I'm looking at, where are they? Who are they? Do they have vulnerabilities? Can I attack them with a 50 cal machine gun and see where they are, and trade Earth women with them, and that kind of stuff. Not being facetious, but I'm looking at the system that intervened there, and I'm also looking at to see if they are the same system that has orchestrated events and incidents similar to the 1994 Harare, Zimbabwe incident. We had all these school children at the Ariel School walking out, middle school kids, into the savannas there and experiencing en masse a UFO landing event. John Mack happened to interview those kids too. So I want to use those two incidents, those two arenas, to research and to hunt down something so we can get ground truth. Even if they are, even if the system is 100 million years ahead of us, at least we can say, at least we can demonstrate some order of intelligence that's above what we're doing now corporately on this planet. Because they're not going to communicate. I think they're using incidents, these nonsense incidents that you look back in the past, all these nonsense incidents. At Jacques Vallée's books, one of his many excellent books, was Messengers of Deception. Yeah, it is deception, but it's deception with a purpose. They want us to be able to see through the deception, pull the curtain back on the Wizard of Oz, not to mix too many metaphors here, and be able to sort the wheat from the... It's very much like Christ's parables. When Christ was telling the masses, the flocks, parables after he fed them fishes and loaves and wine, some people would say, I don't know what you're talking about, and just go home. But others would not be able to sleep. What did he mean? What did he mean? What did he mean? And that's the kind of analogy I'm talking about with this deception program. They're using it to promote and evolve consciousness in this neck of the woods. And in some regards, I don't think that they can evolve higher unless we do. You're only as strong as your weakest link, just like in the infantry. That guy on your squad who's not so sharp, you can't outrun him. You're only as strong as your weakest link.
You have talked about how the kill shot is our reset button. What do you mean by that?
If you look back in human history, and according, you look at your guests like Graham Hancock and all these other wonderful speakers and researchers have said, look, this is not the only civilization that's been around. It's something even before the Sumerians 9,000 years ago. Look, all of a sudden the pyramids were there. There was language and mathematics. I don't think so. There's stuff that at least is evidence of perhaps societies, one or more, that goes way back further than that, right? And those all got a reset. In the mythology, I don't care what mythology you use, that something big happened, whether it was a flood or fire or whatever, something big happened, the memory went to sleep, and all of a sudden mankind popped up again. So that's what I mean by a reset.
All right, stay with us. We're going to come back with final calls with Major Ed Dames on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Major Ed Dames with us as we talk our final segment here about some of the many things that he has done in the world of remote viewing. And so, Ed, tell us a little bit again about this announcement where you're going to go back on teaching. You're going to let your staff do that. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I'm going to do a farewell tour. The reason for that is is implied. Boston, Dallas, Philadelphia, Chicago, and San Francisco in the next few months. And then I'm going to pull the plug. I have some professionals that I've trained and screened and vetted over the years, and they are super. The next generation of remote viewers, if you will, who will teach the public. Maybe I can introduce them to you on one of your shows. And then I'm going to go off and do some personal things, personal projects that I've wanted to do right now some things are in the way, like Korea and having to try to protect my fellow soldiers and sailors and airmen. But all things will pass, I guess. And anyway, the UFO agenda, the alien thing, is the icing on the cake for my career.
Well, good for you. It's been a long time coming for you, Ed.
Yeah, well, for both of us too. You know, we got him. Like I say, time waits for no one. And by the way, I hope you avail yourself of one of those opportunities, Chicago or San Francisco, perhaps.
Just get me those dates
to pop in and
I'd love to.
Well, I'll give you a crash course, and then we'll drink heavily.
You know I don't drink, Ed. Heavily. Let's go to Jeff in Hutchinson, Kansas. Hey, Jeff, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yes. Hello, Major Ed Daines.
Hi there.
I have spent my money, and I have the course on remote viewing, which scared me to death.
Why? Why did it scare you? I don't understand.
Well, I had the people that said, oh, you're crazy for spending your money, and I thought it was very interesting, but it scared me. There's a lot of things that, I guess, the unknown.
Well, the unknown is always scary. You know, the big one is death. That's the big unknown, and that's the most scary one. People usually avoid it. But ignorance is not always bliss.
That's true. I was wanting to ask you, there's a gentleman that was on with George here a few weeks ago, and he has several things he's talking about. One of them is a Project Dark Star. I think I'm right about that. And he says something really bad's going to happen with a star that's coming through the solar system. It's out by Jupiter right now, he says, and it's going to swing around this way. And the 27th of May is going to be something very terrible happening. And just like you with the with your son situation with the kill shot, he says there are several places in the United States that you can stay that you'll be okay, and other places you won't. And I wonder if you had heard about this Project Dark Star.
No, I haven't heard about the Dark Star, but the idea of something passing through the solar system is concomitant with the kill shot, the earlier work we've done in terms of the kill shot, the solar mega flares, that there is a passing space body that somehow either is coincident with and concomitant with the kill shot sequence, or actually causes it electrically or whatever. But we can't put dates and times on things yet. It took us 20 years to solve what Ingo Swann, the father of remote viewing, called the search problem. It's funny, I was reading the other day a letter from Ingo, a personal letter. He said, Ed, do you think that minds can undergo metamorphosis? I'm still thinking about that. And so we do get this passing space body idea, and we know that that's real. This is something that is concomitant with this kill shot sequence. And in terms of putting dates on events, we cannot yet do that. I'm not sure we ever can, but I said that about the search problem, too, so don't know.
We have Mike in Ohio now. Mike, welcome to the program. Go ahead, Michael.
Oh, hold on.
Go ahead, Mike.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. A couple things. My father was in the Korean War.
Mine too.
And I was told by him later on, he left when I was relatively young, but he said, this is not going to stop. And you know what? Look what's happening. It's not stopping. So, you know what, he was a Marine. My brother went to Vietnam as in Army. I went into the Marines, went to Grenada. That was no big deal, really. But, you know what, it doesn't seem that the North Koreans want to stop. And the arrogance and the willing to destroy something in America by them.
Mike, it's not the
wrong
Korean people. Mike, it's not the people. It's the leaders worldwide. I mean, let's look at Iran, for instance. The Persian people are not Arabs. They're Persians. If you visit Iran, they love Americans. They'll treat you like a king on the streets, too. It's the leaders, our leaders included, that are insane. They're nuts. In case of the DPRK, it's the Kim dynasty. People are scared to death. I mean, they're controlled from minute to minute, from cradle to grave. It's not the Korean people. It's the leaders that once they become ensconced, these dictator and or oligarchs, you know, it's easy for them to maintain power, relatively easy. Of course, in the end, they meet their end. But, Mike, it's not the North Korean people.
No, it's not. As a matter of fact, it's not people around the planet, Ed. It is these leaders. And when's it going to stop? Good
almost
question.
A philosophical question.
Yeah. It sure is. It's got to get to that point. Back to China for a moment, back to Russia. Do you see the time where they will gang up against us directly, militarily?
They've been planning that for the last 20 years, George. I mean, it's a matter of survival. You've got the world superpower that is into changing regimes and bringing democracy via bombs and missiles to anybody that is anywhere close to an oil pipeline. You got that, so it's a matter of survival. Yes, the Chinese and the Russians first for about 40 years. They're going to have to collaborate in order to counter the United States, and now Iran will be brought into that bloc as well as the rest of the as well as many other countries. Look at what they're doing economically. Anybody can see that they're developing alternatives to the SWIFT system and anything that could cripple their countries economically, like we have done to them before, whether it's sanctions or messing around with banks. We're going to be faced off with our conquerors very soon.
All right, let's go, Nick. Mike, thanks for the call. Let's go to Patrick in Miami, Florida. Hi, Patrick. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. A couple things, Ed. One, you know, you talk about remote viewing. I wish that you would just stick to remote viewing instead of, you know, moving off that, you know, and putting the intent upon the person that you're viewing. But that's neither here nor there, and I have no problem with that discipline. Number two, my concern, more importantly, is this conventional weapons, because remember, you know, you're talking 30 miles to Seoul. And so those conventional weapons are gonna go right after Seoul because they have no depth.
No, Seoul is it?
They have no depth after. So within 2 hours, you know, we never hear about their air force. They don't have an air force. Okay, so within 2 hours, we'll be bombing that. Okay, but you know, the South Korean Army Defense U.S. you know, on conventional weapons can only fire, what, you know, 60, 70, 80 miles, okay?
Yeah, Patrick, Seoul Incheon is finished. You got 37,000, nominally 37,000 artillery pieces. Let's say we blitzed them and we took out 17,000. You still have 20,000 artillery pieces that are nonstop going to bombard those poor people. Any way you cut it, anybody that does anything, Seoul is the victim, period. Seoul is not going to make it's going to be a unbelievable tragedy, and that's Seoul, Korea.
There will be no, I would take it, Ed, no winners out of this conflict.
Who in the heck ever wins, George?
Nobody
wins. Both would agree on in a war. Nobody.
No. Patrick, follow up question. Are you all set?
No, I'm not so concerned, but I think what would occur, I would like to know what Ed's opinion is, that I think it would be very quick. But there will be a large destruction, especially on the South Korean side, as opposed, human lives, and then opposed to the North Korean side. But then, you know, day five, day six, day seven, you know, what occurs then, in your opinion?
What occurs then is that there is an attack across on the part of whatever's left, the 2nd Infantry Division and Camp Casey guys and the South Koreans into North Korea, and it's a trap. That's when the North Koreans actually pop that nuke. If you look at my website, community, you'll see where I actually, where their intended detonation points are for a nuclear device, an atomic weapon. They don't have air delivery means, and they won't, because we're not going to let them. Nobody's going to let them. But they're going to detonate that thing in a tunnel, whether it's a highway tunnel, or if you look at that specific site that they got, it's not pre-chambered. They're going to drive something in there and pop that, or one of the undiscovered tunnels that we discovered using remote viewing. And that will actually destroy some North Korean communities, unfortunately. But madmen are prepared for that. And the airborne plume will, in addition to the artillery bombardment, you know, now Seoul and Incheon will be facing a radioactive plume from the north. It's beyond a no-win situation for South Korea.
Let's go to Susan, Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Susan. Go ahead.
Hello. You're talking about an air plume coming over from Fukushima that we haven't heard about here. We only hear about the water plume. And I'm assuming that that's getting into my drinking water. Hello?
It's constant.
Yep.
It's
go ahead.
And low level, and it's constant over the years.
What I'd like to know, because you've got the vision, precision, should I be taking pills to protect my thyroid and or as a civilian, is there any way I can filter my water to get that out of there?
Yeah, you can look up those things on the Internet, but how old are you, may I ask?
How old, Susan?
65.
Yeah, so I'm 67. We don't have to worry about you. If I were there in BC, I wouldn't have to worry about it. It's children that really take up iodine fast.
Okay.
In their thyroid, and they're the ones that need to be protected. I could give you countless.
Okay. I have a second question.
Sure.
I followed up with David Mead on your Dark Star, and I bought his Planet X for the 2017 arrival, and he gave some dates in there and explained it. Then I went back to David Hancock's latest book, and they overlap. And my concern was, one of the two books mentioned that not only do we have a hole in the ozone layer, we also have a massive hole in our Earth's magnetosphere. And when we have that detector 1 hour out warning at the L1 point, we have an hour to respond. And I'm assuming with that hole in the magnetosphere and also with the rotation of the planet that this blast is going to hit one side of the planet, or it's going to get through that hole and it's going to focus on one continent or one region of the planet, and that the rest of the planet won't be nearly as endangered. Have you seen that in any of your visions?
Well, you're a little bit wrong in some of your geophysics, solar physics there, too. The magnetosphere, Earth's magnetosphere, is collapsing. And if it's impinged by a number of back-to-back solar flares, it will completely collapse. And then even an M-class flare will be geophysically effective, very effective, too. And it gets complex after that, but it's not going to affect the entire planet at once every time. So that's to make a long story short. In terms of the ozone layer, a contract that I did for Lawrence Rockefeller years ago, Atmospheric Ozone Depletion, Projected Consequences, and Remedial Technologies was the name of the contract. When we use remote viewing team, professional teams, ex-military in that case, and myself, we looked at the ozone layer, and what scientists didn't know at the time, and I'm not sure they even know it now, and this was 20-plus years ago, is the ozone layer does not just have holes over the poles. The ozone layer is thinning. It's metastasizing. It looks like Swiss cheese. And that's a very, very serious thing, because life on Earth could not have evolved nominally 2.5 billion years ago until there was an ozone layer. And that's how serious that is. You can think of the effects.
Let us go to Robert in Chicago, Illinois. Hello, Robert. Go ahead.
Thank you, George, and thank you, Major. Major, I've got two questions. Do you really believe that China, Russia, North Korea, and Iran would go up against the United States with allies like France, Britain, South Korea, of course, Japan, Canada, Australia? I mean, I can't imagine that they would start a war with all our allies. And the second question I have is with the draft. Why don't we start this the draft up again, a 2-year draft? Because of our the manpower. I mean, I think that we don't have enough people in the military, and I believe that we should start a draft again, a military draft. What's your opinion on all that, sir?
Well, in terms of the draft, that's a dicey thing to talk about, and we got away with it in the past, but I'm not so sure that it would work in the future. Although, as you might know, even President Trump is considering women applying for the conscription now. But North Korea, yes, North Korea, they'll do anything. When a rat is cornered, it doesn't care who its enemy's allies are. And North Korea, by the way, doesn't have that many allies. It has Syria, it has a Pakistan to a certain degree, but those guys are far away. Many times wars are not fought out of a feeling of power, but out of a feeling of powerlessness. And I think that we're putting North Korea, all of us, Chinese, Russia, and the United States into a corner. And don't forget there are secret agreements that you and I are not privy to, in terms of Russia, China, and the United States. Of course, you believe that I do, because it's true. So we don't know what's going on there behind the scenes. Our attack in Syria. That's such a very, very funny thing. Study that, and you'll know what I mean.
Ed, my friend, the clock has got us. Keep in touch with us, would you, please?
Yeah, check out survivingthekillshot.com if you want to sign up for one of those workshops. And I
All
hope
right.
you just call me, George, and I'll make
okay,
sure.
Okay, my friend. Be in touch. Dr. Ed Dames, Dr. Doom, we call him. And let's just hope that we get through all of this. We're going to come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast as we talk about the cosmos.